When you first began working here, can you tell me some of the responsibilities that you had when you first arrived?
Well, by the time I came in, there was a structure in place. As I mentioned earlier, the structure had our chief of investigations. Unfortunately, by the time I came, the post was vacant. And one of an earlier colleague who was commander of investigations was deputizing as chief of investigations. Then I came in with another young man, two of us, to make the third commander. And those were the posts that were available at the time. There were three commanders and a chief of investigations. When I came in, I was fitted into the structure and a number of teams placed under my responsibility. But it should be noted that at that point, the investigations division was not yet sufficiently structured. It was on paper. It had worked in one way or the other, I don't know, but the duty, our duty, was to restructure that division. So when a chief of investigations was recruited a year later, in 1999, our job with him was to sit down, review the work done, review the responsibilities and the goals we had to attain, and determine what structure would best respond to those activities and those goals. And so I was part of the process of providing proposals and retaining decisions that would structure the investigations division for the rest of it. We didn't expect, well, it's an ad hoc tribunal, but we thought we were going to run for a long time. But as you see with time, we had again to review this structure, because then the Security Council gave us a time frame and we had to fit into that new time frame.
So my next question was about the challenges of your role, and I think that is definitely one of them. But yes. Are there others that you could speak to?
Well, let's look at it generally and say this was the first time, or the second time in modern history, maybe after the First World War, with the Nuremberg trials, a tribunal was set up somehow, but not an intended structure like ours, because even the statutes of United Nations provided for the creation of a tribunal, which only came into effect in 2002 with the creation of the ICC. Otherwise, what we had on by our creation were ad hoc tribunals. So we had an ad hoc tribunal at The Hague, which came on earlier in 1992-93, then an ad hoc tribunal, which is that of Rwanda, created at the end of 1994, I think by resolution 955 of 8th November 1994, to take up the duty of investigating what initially was not seen as genocide here. It required a special rapporteur of the United Nations to establish that the genocide had been committed, and so the tribunal was created. Now, as a major first challenge, I think the international community had never put in place a tribunal. So we were coming into it and at the same time setting history by trying to put in place a structure that, that would respond. And even in the main process of the work itself, the statute said our tribunal was under the prosecutor, expected to investigate and prosecute those who bore the greatest responsibility, the crimes of genocide and serious violations of international humanitarian law, and of course other issues related to violations of additional protocols of additional protocols 1 and 2, the war crimes. Now, we had been investigators in our country, or in our different countries, those who came here, and we hadn't been confronted with such mass murder. it'll be a few murders or some hecatomb. But to have to investigate the killings of 1 million people within the space or committee in the space of 100 days, it defeats really the purpose. When an investigator goes to a crime scene, he sees one murder or a few murders, and he knows how to probably set the crime scene and so on. Here we were with the whole country of Rwanda as a crime scene, with close to 1 million people. At that stage, even the figures of death, to this day, it's even hard to know how many people really died. So as a major challenge, that's where we were. The international community was expecting results, immediate results, because the killings were gruesome, numbers alarming. And so when they create a tribunal, they want to see immediate results. And yet here we were, not knowing where to start, not having to investigate all the crime, but just to select those who bore the greatest responsibilities. How do you go about establishing those who bore the greatest responsibilities? It could be. It's not a matter of size. It's not a matter of position. What do you use to establish those who bore the greatest responsibilities? That's one. Second issue, most of those who committed the crimes had escaped from the country. And so it was even hard to start to know where to start. Thirdly, most of those who could have helped to give testimony were not there. They'd been killed. If you read some of the books on Rwanda, they say the intention was to leave none to tell the story. And by the time the investigation section was set up, this is 1994, the text creating it, the period between which you start getting air infrastructure in place, getting a team in place, getting goals in place, time has gone by. The crime scene has been altered. That is another challenge. And even in the course of investigations, it's been hard to say whether we should have gone through forensics to establish the number of killings, how they were killed, and so on. That would have taken some more time. I think at some point they even stopped doing exhumations or trying to determine what would be done to establish how many people died, how they died, and so on. No, so the challenges have been enormous. And you come to a country like Rwanda, in which most people spoke their local language, they're not exposed to English and French, which are the main languages of a tribunal, and you cannot work without passing through a third party. Sometimes it's difficult to determine whether those third parties are not interested parties, the interpreters, I mean. And of course, behind all that was the fact that the tribunal didn't start with professional investigators. Instead of just picking anybody, they asked most countries to volunteer, to send staff. They send volunteers. Most of the volunteers are school leavers or people in fields which did not actually master the science of investigations. So it took time. And it's in fact, within the first years, a few professional investigators were picked up, but most of them were volunteers or secondees sent by states that picked staff and said, okay, we'll sponsor a few investigators in the field in Rwanda. And those few, the few qualified investigators had to rein in these people to do investigations. In some cases, there were no follow-ups, because they had to go back to their countries. The second is for 3 months, 6 months. They didn't have a full-time job. So by the time they started recruiting people full-time as investigators, this was, in fact, getting late into 97, 98, and so on. And of course, and by the time we thought we had built in properly to do full investigations, they were asking us to think of ending the life of a tribunal, which is now 2003. Well, that's how much I think I can say. Maybe I've spoken a bit too much, but it's okay.
No, I want you to speak.